This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a Wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, Wimpy, Wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, Hefty, Hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty large black bags.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is, well, let's see, this is the 17th. This is October 17th. This is the voice of the Christian resistance on this October 17th, 2022. Now, way in the back, we start way back in the boiler room out there. We have got Randy and Eric. They're manning the phones, man, and they're ready to go. I mean, they're excited. This is pledge week, pledge week, pledge week. They're ready to roll. Then here we have now someone from his generation informing us what these strange practices of his generation is, you know, and we just found out tonight what furries are. Now, we're not going to say it yet because we want to see if Pastor Joe knows what a furry is, okay? But, and I'm sure Joe is not a
furry. I know what furries are.
You what?
People who go around dressed as little animals, they have a sexual thing, attraction to pretending they're animals. It's kind of sad.
It is sad, Joe, but I couldn't believe it.
But it's sad.
Huh. How long have you known about this?
It's probably over a year and a half.
Well, you're ahead of me. I just found out about furries tonight.
And they also call them Furbies, but, you know.
Yeah. Lisa's not thinking about a career change now since she's heard about these.
I hope not.
You hear that? She's practicing her laugh. Do it again.
Good evening, everyone.
There you go. She's been waiting all night to do that. Okay, Courageous Craig's on the board.
Good evening, everybody.
All right.
It's wild out there.
All righty. It's strange tonight. All righty. This is Pledge Week, and way out yonder,
well,
you've heard from
him. Fearless leader, it has to be a little strange.
Yeah.
I mean, neither one of us are very normal.
Yeah. And I'll never be a furry. Never. All righty. There you go. All right, phone lines are open at 888-281-1110, 888-281-1110, or 888-677-9673. Now, Joe, we really do need to open this radio program tonight in prayer because the condition of our country is not good. And there are those that really want this program off the air. And we've had a lot of warnings that, you know, we might be physically removed off the air. So anyhow, let's go to prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just would come to you right now. We just want to hold this country up, Lord. We want to hold our country up and ask, Lord God, that again, one nation under God, the way you gave it to us, Lord, that we can return America back to one nation under God. You've told us, Lord, that those that are forget their God will be turned into hell. And we see our nation going to hell in a handbasket. It's bad. America's cut. She's bleeding. She's wounded. And, Lord, we have so many people out there that are in la-la land. They're walking around. They know something's very wrong, but the vast majority of them are clueless. They really don't understand what's going on. They've been so indoctrinated. So indoctrinated, Lord. And I've talked to so many parents, Lord, that whose adult children, Lord, have quit speaking to them because they won't take the poisonous poke. They won't take the jab. But their adult parents know better. And so many that have cut off access to their grandchildren because they refuse to take the poisonous poke. And Lord, and now we have people wanting to make little girls into boys and make little boys into girls, and they want to, you know, put little children in costumes and put them in litter boxes. This is, Lord, this is sick. It's really gotten bad. So, Father God, we need, Lord, an awakening. We need revival in America today. And that's my prayer, that, Lord God, whatever it would take, that you would send a shock force into the people. Wake up the pastors, Lord. Give them some backbone. I want to praise you, Lord, for the ones that you have raised up, those pastors with some backbone, with some spine, with some metal. But, Lord, there's just so few of them. Raise up some bold men of God to stand and preach your word, Father God, without compromise. Ones, those that are truly believers, those that are truly saved. So we ask that you bless this radio program, Lord. We ask this tonight, that your message, whatever that message be, that it reach the hearts and the minds. You know who's listening. You know who needs to. You know what they need to hear. And we ask, Father God, that as we're watchmen on the wall tonight, Lord, that this radio program falls out in such a way that there be some that receive Christ as their Savior tonight. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen to that.
All righty. Okay, so look, we've already got some pledges. Little Lisa pledged $125. Bob and Astoria pledges, that's Queens, $500. And thank you, Bob. And Jerome in New York pledges $400. Always.
Wow, what a blessing. Nice. Kind of a shock, right?
Yeah, we've got out to a shock. And so, there you go. So we've got off to a very good start tonight. The phone lines are open, folks, at 877-9673. And I think the 888-281-1110 is the credit card line, right? That's the credit card line.
That's the credit card line.
Okay, very good. So
281-2110 is the credit card line. And I repeat it again. Sometimes that I was slow in writing. I figured there's some other people out there that are a little slower than maybe you are.
No, I can write fast.
I know. You talk fast, too.
Yeah. That's because I'm a fast talker. Listen, do you know what the title of the message is this week?
It's a very unusual title. Is it what it is, or is it?
That's right. It is what it is, or is it? It is what it is. You've heard people say that time. Well, you know.
I reversed that. I'm dyslexic.
And you hear people say, well, you know, it is what it is, and it is what it is when things don't go the way they're supposed to or whatever. And but, Joe, today most things are not what they appear to be. And so, and that's
boy,
just
almost nothing is as it appears to be, I would add.
Wow, Landon in Canada just placed $400. Thank you, Landon. Wow. We're off to a good start. Now, last week, Joe, I witnessed the two men. I invited them to church, and I invited the first one to church, and he said, well, let me just tell you, to me, church is a good cup of strong black coffee sitting out there on the porch and just watching nature. To me, that's church. And I said, but that's not church to God. And I told him, the Bible says, make sure your feet find the path to the house of the Lord. Make sure that you do not forsake the assembling of yourself in the house of God. And I said, you know, God didn't stutter there. He meant that. That's not an elective. Well, you know, I know, but, you know.
I love that but.
And so here, and I told him, I said, you know, when the preacher witnesses to you, not just the preacher, but when someone witnesses that and invites you, they're just a messenger. They're just a messenger. The message comes from the Lord. They're commissioned to go out and preach the gospel. We're all commissioned to go out, all born-again believers, and preach the word of God, aren't we?
Yes.
And so anyhow, so the other guy, I said, you know, I invited him to church, and he simply said, well, you know, I'm good. And that's all he said, and I got to go, and boom, he was gone. The message I try to get out to these people is never turn down an invite from God. If God is calling you, you see, years ago, the last thing, Joe, I wanted to be was a preacher. When I was a young man, I had no intention of being a preacher. Okay.
Right.
But God had intentions. And so things started happening to me. I mean, there would... And finally, I got the message. I got the message. And the message is, look, if the Lord's calling you, just say yes. Just say yes, okay? Because he'll speak to you. Maybe he'll whisper to you. If that don't work, he'll speak a little louder. If that don't work, you know, he knows what it takes if it means beating you over the head. If God wants you, God is going to get you right where he wants you, right when he wants you. You can do it his way or your way, huh?
Well, there seem to be some people that I think he knows they aren't going to listen to him no matter what. He tries to call them, and then he gives up on them.
Well, you know what? He
knew you and I were a little stubborn, and we were going to need to be pushed a little harder, but he knew we would accept in the end. See, that's the blessing. He knows when he calls someone whether they're going to come or not.
Yeah. Well, that's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, is it not?
It is.
And so, here you go. Listen, I've got, we're on a roll tonight. Deacon John pledged 100. Betty in California pledged 50. Pauline in Georgia pledges 100. Bugs Bunny in Little Rock, I know that fella, he pledges 200.
We know who he is.
Yep. He pledges 200. Yeah. Yep. Thank you.
Because it comes at a time we need to help more than we've probably ever needed in the past, I think.
Yeah, we really do. And again, you know, not just for us, but as you know, they're going after parents at school board meetings. We are now under communism. See?
Oh, yeah, they're going...
Communism is socialism. Communism is socialism with a police state, okay? We're now in the police state. Now, there's some good news in the sense that all is not well within, you know, the realm of darkness out there in the deep state, especially within the FBI. There's a whole lot of people in the FBI, the good cops, the clean cops, that are saying enough is enough, and they don't want to put up with it anymore. So I would advise Chris Ray to step down, either totally reverse course, come out clean, and say, look, you know, what you've been doing.
We'll do after the Bible study. I've got news about Chris Ray.
All righty. So let's start here tonight. We're going to start in Luke chapter 15, starting with verse verses 25. So go ahead and read us verses 25 through 27.
That's Luke 14.
Okay, yeah, Luke 14, verses 25 through, yeah, right.
And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost?
Okay, Joe, right there, that's all you have to read what we're doing here now. When he's talking about this, a lot of people totally misunderstand this verse. The word hate here is not like it's used in other places where it's used where he says, God hates all of those that commit iniquity. God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. That word, okay, is different as far as the meaning of that word, okay? In fact, it means an extreme intolerance, or actually, I was looking up the different words there in that. So it's not used in the same sense as we often use the word hate. Here, the word means to love less, to love less. So he's telling you that unless you put him first, you have to put him first. Okay, now, let me ask you this. Who else was it that hung on a cross and received more pain, okay, than anyone else has ever? In other words, Christ, when he was upon that cross, he received more pain than any man ever suffered. He suffered more than any man. Now, who else out there did that for us?
No one.
That's right. So he was,
actually,
he was,
if I could mention it, I think the greatest suffering he did was when all the sins were placed upon his soul. It wasn't so much the physical, which is horrible, but he took on that sinless, spotless soul all the sins of this ugly world, the murder and mayhem and lies and cheating, deceit, killings and everything you can think of, the perversions. And that emotional pain, if you talk to any parent that lost, I had to talk to parents that lost their sons in Vietnam, write letters. Emotional pain is far worse than physical pain. So he's on the cross suffering this horrible physical pain, but he's bearing all these emotional sins and pains. It's beyond comprehension to me.
Well, and try to fathom this, that he, before he suffered that pain, he
knew what was coming.
Right, yeah. He knew what was coming. And that fact alone, again, is unfathomable for us. You and I, there's no way in the world we could ever even perceive of that. And so, anyhow, so what he's saying here is that unless we put him first in our life, before everybody else, and especially before our own selves, unless we put him first, then we cannot be his disciple. And so then he goes on to say, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me. To bear the cross means to be willing to pay the price for being a Christian. Now,
we call it take up your cross and follow me.
Absolutely. Do you think Peter paid a harsh price for denying Christ when he did?
Very harsh, yeah.
Do you think if Peter could take that back, he would?
Instantly.
And so let's turn over.
If he could. That's that great phrase, right?
Right. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 9. And in Luke chapter 9, read me verses 21 through 27.
And he said unto them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. And,
okay.
But I tell you the truth. There be some standing here which shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God.
All right. You know, I really get concerned when I see people that I care about, that I care a lot about, Joe, show so little interest in witnessing. You know, every time you are presented with the opportunity to witness to someone, the Lord Jesus Christ, when it's there, and you pass it up, you fail to do that, what does that say? Are you saying that you're ashamed of the Lord?
Yes, either ashamed of the Lord or you don't really believe what you're saying, one of the two.
All right. When the Lord gives born-again believers the Great Commission, is that an elective, okay, or are we required to go out and to witness,
and
to teach?
I don't see the word elective anywhere there. It's a commission. It is a commandment in that sense. He commissions us, which is the same as the Lord commands.
And so when I have a tendency, when I see people that are hesitant or won't witness, to doubt their salvation. Now, I have some people that are close to me. But they say, well, you know, I'm not an outgoing person. It's very, very hard for me. Very hard for me to do that. I'm an introvert. What do you say to those people, Joe?
Well, your faith is what gives you courage. So if you have faith, God will give you the courage to testify and give your testimony.
Okay, so let me ask you this. If you hand somebody a gospel tract, is that witnessing?
Yes, it is.
Is that a hard thing to do, to say to somebody, look, do me a favor, when you get a chance to read this, just read this, right?
Right.
Now, are there good times to witness, and are there times when you should not? It's a very bad time or a poor choice of time to witness.
I think there are very many bad times. There are times that you aggravate somebody. They're not going to pay any attention. It could make things worse. So timing is very important, but that's where, you know, take this gospel tract. Look at it when you have time. I realize you're busy. Look at it later.
I've seen people where, you know, they'll be in a checkout line, and there'll be a line of people, and that clerk's working as hard as he or she can, and they'll decide, I'm gonna witness to this person. That's not the right time to do it, is it?
No.
Are they really listening to you? Okay. What
no,
about?
They're getting aggravated at you, and they're going to be mad at you, and then that means they're going to be mad at what you're telling them.
So that's a poor testimony, right?
Right. Very
now,
poor.
What about you're in a restaurant and you're witnessing to the waitress, and I've seen this many times, and the waitress maybe has four or five tables to wait on, and you're talking to her, and I've seen this happen, and she keeps looking up to see if the boss is looking at her because
right. She's
supposed to be hitting these, you know, tables,
mm-hmm.
and a guy's just, you know, wanting to lead her in the sinner's prayer right there. Not the right time, is it?
No. She could lose her job, and again, it goes back to she gets frustrated, they won't be listening, and they also might just say, oh, yeah, 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 and go, you know, say things they don't mean. So
in other words, just to pacify you, to shut you up, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So is that the time to give them a gospel tract? Is that why you should always carry a pocket full of gospel tracts with you?
It's a very good thing. I don't always do it because some of the places I go, I know everybody. I know who's saved and you know, when you go places like that, sometimes I don't. But when you're traveling, yeah, your area, you're always going meeting new people.
We've given out millions of gospel tracts, okay? And the word gets out there. Now, most people, if they take them and say, would you read this, they will read it. Now, God's word does not return void. And there has been an example I was just told about. A fellow took a gospel tract over to Africa. He was preaching there, and they didn't have, you know, there were no gospel tracts in that group where he was at. And the chief had every single person there in that tribe read that gospel tract. Every one of them there. And when they were finished,
that reached all those people, yeah.
When the last person read it, they led them in the Lord's Prayer, in the sinner's prayer, and they all bowed and they all received Christ as a Savior. And this was the testimony that was given to me last night. And so, folks, there you go. Listen, when the Lord Jesus says this, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and with the holy angels. So when you have the opportunity, and never, ever, ever, no matter what, ever deny the Lord. And when people are mocking, and you have that, you have these people that are mocking the Lord Jesus, like that fool that said, when Christ comes back again, we'll kill him again. Then you rebuke them, and I mean you rebuke them in his strongest manner.
Coming back, if you see him, you'll be wetting your little panties.
That's exactly right.
You'll be on your face begging for mercy. I mean, yeah, they have no idea what's coming.
All right, hang tight. We'll be back right after this.
Remember me, you're taking all my money. Remember me, you gave my job away. Remember me, or am I just a number? Who's white and straight and doesn't qualify for foreign aid? Remember me, I helped you get elected. But you haven't done one thing you said you'd do. Well, even though you'd rather not remember me, I'll remember. Remember me, I serve my country proudly. Remember me, I love the USA. Remember me, or am I just some bumpkin who you didn't think would notice the bounce checks and midnight raids? Remember me, I wrote you all those letters, thinking that you cared what I thought too. Well, even though you often just forget to remember, I'll remember you. I'll remember.
I'll remember.
In November.
In November.
As I step into the little booth, I'll remember.
Remember
in November
to
Alrighty, we will remember in November. Do we have a little bit on dark money? Okay, can we do some dark, that little clip on dark money? It's coming, the clip.
Majority Ford is kind of a dark money empire that the Democrat Party really doesn't want to talk about, especially Chuck Schumer. They got millions, $90 million in 2020. They control, it's not just them either, they control a network of four different dark money nonprofit groups as well. And all of this money eventually goes to Democrat-aligned PACs, and the initial donors behind it are essentially untraceable. Based on my research, the only thing we're able to identify is the 1630 Fund gave them $3 million. The 1630 Fund itself is also totally untraceable as to where that money came from. And they also got about $1 million from a large carpenters union, the typical union election spending in favor of Democrats. The Democratic Party really, they make a big deal in public about getting rid of dark money, getting dark money out of politics. The reality is that even the New York Times is now reporting on this, that Democrats use much more dark money than Republicans do, and they're more than willing to take that funding as long as it benefits them. But they'll still simultaneously be trying to call out conservatives and Republicans for using dark money as well.
Alrighty, we're back. Now, Joe, dark money is used to do illegal things to do things that are immoral and unethical, is it not?
It's used to hide. It's used to hide so that people, it's money donated to political causes, and it's done in such a way that the donors can remain anonymous. So we don't know who it is, but we do know who's behind dark money. There is a group called Arabella Advisors. It's a Washington, D.C. consulting firm, and it manages four nonprofits, and these four, now listen to this carefully, four nonprofits that host dozens, and we're not sure how many, but I think it's over three dozen shadowy left-wing groups, including one that works with the Biden administration on its policies. And the trick is you've got to go back and find out who's behind these groups. And, Pastor, I bet if you think real hard, you can come up with one of the names of one of the biggest people who would be behind.
That wouldn't be Georgie Soros, would it?
It would be Georgie Soros.
And behind him, Billy Gates?
Yeah, it comes up.
All right.
And what they've done, they've set up this series of, command. Like I said, there's these four main groups, and then they have groups under that, and then each group has smaller groups under that. And it's just their way of hiding things. And this dark money is huge in politics. We have the big four groups are the New Venture Fund, the 1630 Fund, the Windward Fund, and the Hopewell Fund, and these groups sponsor all these others. And the setup allows these groups to avoid filing tax forms to the IRS, and this is how they obscure all their financial information. Now, these four funds combined to collect $1.6 billion, not million, billion dollars from secret donors, and we know this from 2020, $1.6 billion that goes to fund basically political campaigns and issue, form issues. And this campaign for our shared future, one of the groups was the one that's been pushing the critical race theories. And so they have specialty groups that push the garbage in schools, politics. And it all goes back to these groups come down somewhere. There's somebody, George Soros, provides millions to the groups housed there at the Arabella Network. And some of these other groups come in there, like Tom Perello is the director of his Open Society Foundation. And he sits on this four-person board that controls this Arabella, that controls all these other organizations. So as you start to look down the chain, we find Clinton people, we find Soros people all involved in managing or being on the board of one of these four groups or one of the next tier down.
All right. Now, we, you know, God's got his people out there, too, Joe. And we want to praise the good Lord for that. There are a lot of organizations out there on our side. And so,
right.
But the thing of it is that this is why we always push and push for people to pray. You know, God tells you, look, I want you to pray. I want you to ask me. I want to hear from my people. This is why it's very important. Now, you're hearing on the news, you keep hearing how it's going to be a red wave. You're going to be a red wave, and they're showing you. But listen, you have to understand, we're up against people that are completely corrupt. I mean, that are completely corrupt. And they know. Listen, Chucky Schumer and these people, Nancy, they've committed crimes, many, many crimes, okay? And, you know, dirty money. These people know all about insider trading. Ask Nancy Pelosi, okay? Ask Hillary Clinton about that. So here, folks, this is the most important election in the history of our country. What's coming up right now, this midterms. Our country is going down the drain quickly. We don't have much time left. The Biden is destroying this to reduce us to a third world status. I got to tell you this. I've told you before now, and I'm not the only one saying it now. This 87,000 IRS agents, Joe, they're out there. Their goal is to totally eliminate the middle class. There will be two classes, the elites and the very wealthy and the very poor, okay?
Poor, right.
And that's they're going to go after small corporations, small businesses first, and then they're going to go after churches, and then they're going to go after any opposition. They're in confederacy with the big box stores like Walmart. This is why I keep telling you, you really need to shop local. You whenever you can go to a mom-and-pop store, go to that mom-and-pop store. Do that. Those are your neighbors. Those are your friends.
Right. I've got to bring one more thing.
Before you do that, I got to say this. Sal in Chester, PA pledged 100. Beverly in Manhattan pledges 200. John in Minnesota pledges 77. Thank you. Phone lines are open. Credit card lines 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Joe, we have one tote left. And that's the tote, that big tote bag. And it says on one side, America needs Jesus. On the other side, it says resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. And we fill this tote bag with all kinds of good stuff, with videotapes. I mean, the stuff that we've given out here to try to educate people over the years. The little red book, video CDs of the songs you hear being played on this program. Books by Peter Glidden and others, and just a whole slew of things go in that tote book. One left, and that's for the first $1,000 pledge. The very first $1,000 pledge gets the very last tote box. So
that sounds like a great deal. Yeah.
Yeah, they're sitting back waiting right now for that first one to call in. So go ahead and finish what you were saying.
This, what people need to know with this dark money, one of the big people behind it, behind George Soros, there's a Swiss billionaire called Hans-Jörg Weiss. He is not an American citizen. Okay, now think about this. But he's connected to the Democratic Alliance. He's a backer of the 1630 Fund. And back in early 2020, he directed $135 million into this 1630 fund through his foundation's arm. You know, they go through all these different organizations. But here's another billionaire putting money. I could find it. This $135 million went to this fund, but he's given to several of the other big funds. So he's another huge donor. Now think about this. He's not even an American citizen, donating hundreds of millions of dollars into our politics to change the way people vote. So you've got to remember, this money talks. They get, you get bombarded with ads and things. Even local newspapers, these people are buying ads on radio, television, newspapers. The propaganda, you've got to be careful where you get your news, who you listen to, because the odds are one of these 36 organizations that are funded by this Arabella advisor, the kind of the head of the pyramid, is coming from two billionaires that both want to bring about a one world order, one that hates this country, one that's not even a citizen. So I should say, voter, beware. Beware where you get your information from.
Yeah.
Tell your friends and neighbors, folks.
What they're doing, too, they're trying to, you know, like with us, because of necessity, because of big tech, trying to shut us down. Well, you know, so we many radio programs like this have sprung up. AM talk radio across the country and some on the Internet. So the opposition, the left, is doing that now. They're putting, they're trying to do what, you know, like what we're doing. They're trying to somehow get into AM talk radio. And so you have to be very, very careful, folks, what you're listening to out there, because there's so much propaganda, things that are half-truths. And I was listening to one today. He had Trump derangement. I mean, this guy comes out and he's screaming and he's yelling about Republicans, that all Republicans, you know, we're all whack jobs, okay? Just unbelievable. And, you know, and they hate us. They really hate us, where with us, you know, we understand we don't want to see them end up in hell. You know, we've tried to witness to him in that, but these people are godless. And some of them are many of them, in fact, more and more now today, are taking up Satanism as their religion. That is happening. So this is exactly what is happening, Joe, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where it starts out to say, in the last day, perilous times, perilous. Now, we're there. Now, we're exactly there right now, because right now we're in perilous times with what's been taking place across this country. Let me.
Are we ever? You look at just. I was looking. Where is it? Chicago this weekend. Chicago weekend. Dozens shot. 13-year-old boy was shot. They recorded 24 people shot. 9 murdered. One was an 87-year-old in a wheelchair. One was a 13-year-old boy in a park, and one was a 66-year-old man that was shot multiple times. And an alt, somebody tried to rob him, and he resisted, and they shot him multiple times. That's one city in one 24-hour period. I'd say we were in those times.
All right. We have to do some lightning rounds tonight, Joe. We really got to go. We've got a lot of information. I've got well over 100 news articles that we really need to get to. So let's do some lightning rounds. We know we touched on this last week.
One big breaking story we need to bring up first, if you would let me.
Go ahead, but do it. So, do it quickly, yeah.
It's terrible. All right, I'll do it quickly. Boston University researchers have claimed to develop a new, more lethal COVID strain in the lab. Now, the scary thing is they've taken the spike protein from Omicron, attached it to the original coronavirus, the one detected at Wuhan, and have made this hybrid. They tested it on mice. 80% of the mice died quickly. This new strain is 5 times more infectious than Omicron, and Omicron has been the most infectious variant they've had. This was done, think about it, Boston University. They've come out and said what they've done, but they've also told everybody in the darn world what they did, how they crossed the two variants. I mean, they didn't give the details, but, hey, you put Omicron with the original Wuhan virus, and we get this new virus, and this is scary, and I'm seeing articles. They're screaming. They're playing with fire. Doctors and professors, scientists in Israel are screaming, this is, should be forbidden. It's playing with fire. This is real gain-of-function research.
It is, and don't worry about it. But
deadlier.
Remember, now Fauci has nothing to do with that. Fauci had nothing to do with the lockdowns. Fauci, he says nothing. He had nothing to do with the school closings.
No.
Or the masks. No. He had nothing to do. And this guy's unbelievable. Anyhow.
Well, we know that the left lies, and the lies are getting worse. They're getting bigger and bigger and bigger to the point that it's...
Well, here's what's scary, Joe. Right now, the phone lines are not ringing, and we're running out of time. So we have approximately one hour left right now, and we are still, I know we're probably about 4,500 short of our goal for tonight, about 4,500 we need. Yeah, we got about 1 hour to get it. So, again, the very first one, that tote bag, we only have one tote bag. It's $1,000 for $1,000 donation. $1,000 pledge. There's going to be all kinds of good stuff in there for the very first $1,000 pledge gets it. Okay. So, anyhow, the numbers are 888-281-1110. That's credit card number, or 888-677-9673. Listen, we hit on this last week a little bit. Let me pick up again. Biden's politicized FBI now hiding Chinese infiltration of U.S. election software as crucial midterms approach. Now, there's no doubt that among reasonable Americans that the 2020 election was stolen from President Donald Trump. That's a fact. And anyone and everyone that says it wasn't is a liar, and there's not a bit of truth in them. And there's not one of them that would have the guts to come on here and debate me on that. They know that. And I would love to get Brett Baird on here, and because, boy, that made me so angry, Joe, when they come across when it's fair and balanced and then said, where's the evidence? And then when you show them the evidence, they won't even look at it. When you give them the 2,000 mules, they won't even look at it. And that the proof was expertly laid out in the blockbuster documentary, 2,000 Mules, which was produced by noted conservative documentarian Dinesh D'Souza. And by the way, we can't even get that now. They put a hold on it. They put a lock on that because they don't want people knowing the truth. What was in there is the facts, the documentation. There it was. There's the proof. And they said, you know, we can't let that film keep getting out because too many people are finding out the truth. Anyhow, also now, one of the things that's happening too, Joe, is you know that Connick, the CEO that went to jail, they got caught with election fraud, with all kinds of election fraud. And now, but here's the interesting thing. In Detroit, Michigan, they've dropped Connick now. They've dropped. You know why, Joe? They don't want a big investigation. There was so much voter fraud in Detroit, Michigan. It was bad. And right.
Any of those big dim cities, it was corruption all over, voting fraud.
Yep, absolutely. Mary Lou in Texas pledges $30. Thank you, Mary Lou. Folks, the phone lines are open. Again, 888-677-9673. Now, here's the thing, Joe. We need to pray for Durham. Durham looks like he's actually getting serious, you know. It's hard to trust anybody in government today, isn't it?
Yes.
But here, Durham examines FBI official Brian Auten on the stand, treating him the way you would a hostile witness, okay? So the trial for Igor Danchenko, the Russian analyst who played a significant role in creating the phony Steele dossier, has begun. The FBI met with Danchenko in 2017 trying to verify the claims of the phony Steele dossier. A Russian analyst who played a major role. Look, the Clinton Foundation, Hillary, paid these people to go out and lie. And the FBI knows that. A Russian analyst who played a major role in the creation of a flawed dossier about former President Donald Trump. No, about the legitimate President Donald Trump. Don't say former president, because as far as I'm concerned, he's still the president. Fabricated one of his own sources and concealed the identity of another when interviewed by the FBI prosecutors, said Tuesday. The allegations were aired in opening statements in the jury trial of Igor Danchenko, who was indicted on 5 counts of making false statements to the FBI in the U.S. District Court in Alexandria. The FBI interviewed Danchenko on multiple occasions in 2017 as he tried to corroborate allegations of what became known as the Steele dossier. Remember, they offered Steele $1 million if he could prove any of that. And he couldn't prove any of it, could he?
Even if you could make it look like you verified it, they were begging him to, even if he had to fake some evidence, do something. But he knew at a certain point he couldn't do it and turned down the $1 million and didn't try. But we see all across there's a new breaking story tonight. Whistleblower documents reveal FBI has in its possession voluminous evidence related to Hunter Biden's potential criminal business dealings.
They've had that. They've had the laptop, okay?
Right.
All that was on there.
It's coming out now that their whistleblowers are documenting, revealing that President Biden was aware of Hunter's business. We knew this, but we've got whistleblowers inside now, the IRS and FBI, coming forward and telling Senator Chuck Grassley they've got all kinds of evidence now to the criminality of all this stuff, and they've been sitting on it, hiding it, and now we know that for sure, because the whistleblowers are validating all these things that we knew, and the story goes on and on and on with detail after detail after detail. A lot of it we've covered. They're going way back to the very beginning of this. But what's happened is everything you and I have talked about on the radio has been verified by whistleblowers that the FBI has those exact documents and the IRS has documents in their possession.
Okay, so here's the point in this. The first witness brought by Durham was Austin. He supervised intel analysts who were involved in the Crossfire Hurricane investigation. Agent Brian Austin's another very, very shady operative who ran the raid of President Trump's home. He's the same one. The FBI is still out to get Trump. All of these years later, the Gateway Pundit has reported extensively on Igor Danchenko and his deep state connections. Now, according to Austin, he was told that he was subject not only to a witness in Durham's investigation, but that means he could be charged with criminal charges. So, do you think that the FBI is going to say, okay, we're going to throw someone under the bus? Somebody's going to have to take.
That's the only thing I can think of. They start to throw some lower level, but they may have a problem because headlines, embezzlement FBI boss accused of flying official jet for personal use. Aircraft suspiciously commuting to airport near Christopher Wray's home. Bob Unruh, one of the best reporters out there. He writes for World News Daily. He's one of the best reporters I know. But he writes about New York Post Miranda Devine has documented complaints from current and former FBI agents that Chris Wray, the director, has been treating the government jet for his own purposes. And he's been going back and forth to where his wife lives, her old family home, where they think the Rays are going to retire when he gets kicked out of being head of the FBI. And this jet, remember, he...
We're up against a hard break. We will be back right after this with a whole lot more, so don't go away. More to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.